I got to tell you, one of my favorite things to do is to watch your comments and read them in Twitter during the breaks. Thank you for all of that. Great insight on time travel. Nothing like a time travel type of show on a Friday night. You can do it right now at J Church Radio. Follow us, hang out in the conversation. It's pretty cool. Check this out. A member of a Welsh rap group believes that he inadvertently photographed a swarm of fairies. And he did this while going for a walk in a field with his dog. His name is John Rutledge, and he says that he noticed the anomalies when he was later looking at the pictures and became convinced that he had captured fairies on film. You need to check it out. Go to In the News over at coasttocoastam.com and check it out. All right, it is a time travel type of night. Open lines with you. Next, this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is a time travel kind of Friday night. Let's go to international lines. Let's go to Ontario. Jack, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hello, Jim.
Yes, Jack.
Okay, that's a pleasure to talk to you. It's a long time I listened to the show, 20 years. I'm a truck driver.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
I'm French, but I try to do my best. I want to that brings something to the table. You know, my point of view is, if you go back in time, you know, like 8 minutes towards the sun, you're gonna be that, like the sun ray comes here, it takes 8 minutes to get here. So if you go at the speed of light in 8 minutes, you're gonna be 8 minutes before everybody on Earth. And if I go, like, let's say with a time machine, I go speed of light in the future, then I will end up at the end of the universe. I will not stay in place, so I won't see what happened on Earth. That's what I don't understand. And so the future don't exist, because every moment I live, I create my future, you know? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because if you listen to what you just said, Jack, you answered your own question. But let me take it one step further. What Einstein said, and this is, I'm going to break it down very simply, is that if you took off in one direction, you jump on your spaceship, right? You take off as close to the speed of light as you can, and you go out for a year in one direction. You turn around and you come back at the speed of light to Earth, right? Now, everybody on Earth is now 100, well, you know, I'm just pulling round numbers out, it doesn't matter, 50 years older. 100 years has passed on Earth, but only 2 years have passed for you. Right? Now, this is you don't need a time machine to do this. You just need to leave the Earth and come back. But you have indeed time traveled.
Yeah.
Right? See.
Okay. But to me, it sounds hard to understand. How can you come go into the time and then be coming back here? You're going to have to go all the way at the end of the universe and come back fast?
No, you don't have to go to the end of the universe. You just have to go out at the speed of light for an amount of time until you get to the speed of light, and then turn around and come back to Earth. You can do it for 30 days if you want. You don't have to go to the edge of the universe. You know,
that
so
makes sense, but
yeah, and let me give you another concept, another example. You have a watch on, right? And you have a buddy that's an astronaut, and he's got the identical watch, and he takes off in a rocket and starts to head out into space. His watch is now running slower than yours. So when he comes back to Earth, the same watch, the same mechanical watch, and you come back, the watches are not going to be the same. You know, and he doesn't have to go to the edge of the universe. He's only got to go out into space, spend some time there. And by the time he comes back, it's going to be different. This has been proven time and time again. It's very simple. Also, I'll give you another example of time travel. Pilots and flight attendants that spend a lot of time in the air, that are flying all of the time, right, around the world, they're all time traveling. Now, it may only be a thousandth of a second per year, but it can all be measured. You know, so that's it's a very important thing to realize when we talk about the possibility. The possibility, is it real? Well, yes, of course it's real. We do it all the time. The measurements of it are very small, but it happens all the time. Time travel is happening right now as I speak. You know, now the H.G. Wells version, jumping onto a time machine and setting it, you know, back to the future in the DeLorean, that's a whole nother thing. But theoretically, sure, it's possible. Absolutely. Time travel has already been proven.
I appreciate your take on this, and I'm going to let you go like this. And thank you very much for taking my call. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, don't forget, Jack, you're a truck driver of 20 years. You've been time traveling for 20 years. Thank you for the phone call, man. Don't ever forget that. Be safe out there. Let's go to my home state of Indiana. Bill, you're on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hey, Jimmy. I wanted to talk about a topic you've already talked about, human perception and our brain as a pattern recognition filter and intuition, and, you know, and where it crosses the line with science. Now, I mean, there's been some discoveries lately using instrumentation, as you know, cosmic microwave background radiation. I think you already also discussed gravitational waves.
Sure.
And there's also, they discovered recently 13 billion light years away at the beginning of what we know of the universe, a galaxy with a lot of oxygen. That is a contradiction. There shouldn't be oxygen so prevalent in that galaxy. Now, all these little contradictions and deja vu and all these little inconsistencies that we all kind of detect through intuition and everything, I was thinking about what Michio Kaku, the physicist, once said. He said the easiest way to perceive the multiverse is if you think about a bunch of bubbles that kind of overlap one another to varying degrees. Now, that really connected a lot of dots for me, and I want to run this by you. Do you think it's possible that we, our planet, is traveling between these dimensions on occasion? And we all kind of have a sense of it, and some of us, like historic figures that we attribute supernatural abilities to, have like an acute sense of it.
I totally agree. And I'll give you a couple of examples. And Bill, actually, it's not that hard to wrap. I'm speaking to the audience here, not to you, but it's not that hard to wrap your mind around. First off, when it comes to the multiverse and Kaku's version of the bubbles, that's a good visual, but let me explain it to you like this. If you went to the edge of the known universe right now, and you went to the wall, right, and you stuck your head out, what do you think is on the other side? Certainly not nothing. It's going to be another universe. And if you go to that edge and you poke your head through and you look at the other universe and you flip over on your back and you look straight up, what do you think you're going to see? Another universe. It's not going to be blank. It's not going to be nothing forever. And so that is the easier way to understand what Kaku is saying. There is a multiverse out there that continues and continues. And it's expanding and coming at you from all directions, from below your feet, from above your head, from the left to right, front to the back. There's that concept. Now, back to Earth going through different dimensions. We are in a spiral. It's the Milky Way. You know, it's a spiral. It's a galaxy. And what we are traveling through in that spiral to our left and to our right, and certainly above and below us too as well, is stuff passing us in the opposite direction. It's a spiral, right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And therefore, that time to the left and to the right, which is passing you in the opposite direction in the spiral, has got to have some dimensionality to it. And you are always passing to the left and to the right another dimension. That's an easy concept to just visualize. So is it possible? I think we're doing it right now.
Yeah, it would explain a lot. I look at it as sort of like a primer. Like, you know, recently they figured out we're actually in what they call it, Lanakia. Our whole entire galaxy, they're saying it's part of a different filament, a different galactic filament. I mean, the structure is different, and that's another. I mean, through instrumentation, I believe we might be starting to be able to record and categorize and catalog this stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And the other part for me, which says that that's okay and that must be what's going on, we have the commonalities. You know, we have carbon and the basic elements that are common throughout space, right? Going back to the beginning. And those commonalities, how they combine into each other and create certain things, that's the similarities. But I cannot even think that everything is going to be exactly the same as it is here on Earth somewhere else, you know, exactly the same. So it's
No,
going to
it'd
be
be nuanced.
continuously different. Yeah, it's going to, you know, slightly different or a lot different, but it's not going to be exactly the same. What are the odds of that? The odds of it being exactly the same, everything? No, that's so I would imagine that there's going to be slight differences out there. There has to be.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Nothing like a good night of time travel talk, huh?
Right. It's just fascinating. And remember, subatomic particles, they exist outside of our perception of time and space.
Absolutely, they do. There's no question about that. And also, the thing is, when we talk about subatomic particles, is the amount of the speed that is going on inside those particles and what gravity is doing there too, as well, moving faster than the speed of light. That's what trips me out. And it's a fascinating subject. Thank you for the phone call, Bill. Be safe out there. All right, let's go to, you know what, let's go east. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Margaret, she thinks she went through a time shift. What happened, Margaret?
Well, first of all, Jimmy, thanks for taking my call. And maybe you can help me sort out the exact term as to what happened to me. I consider it maybe a time shift or even a time bubble.
Well, that's what
If
I'm
it
here
happened.
for, Margaret. So let's see what we can do. We'll do it together.
Okay. All right. This happened in, I think it was about the year 2007. It was the second week in September on a Sunday. I had been visiting a friend of mine that lived on a farm outside of Manly, Nebraska. And the sun had just set, and she had just gotten the kids into bed. She needed cigarettes. So we took off on the gravel road for a little drive for her to go get her cigarettes. And we were driving around a little bit, and I noticed to the north that there was fireworks going on. And it's like, oh, great, you know, fireworks. And let me preface this by saying that it wasn't like somebody shooting off fireworks in their backyard. It was like a professional fireworks show going on. And we're like, on a Sunday night, you know, second week in September, what's going on? Well, as we looked around, there were professional fireworks shows going on in like every direction. And we went and got her cigarettes. We asked the gal, hey, what's going on? You know, what's up with all these fireworks on a Sunday night? And she was busy and couldn't tell us. And we racked our brains, could not think of what was going on. And I had to work the next day, so I said, well, I'm going to take off towards the north, back towards Omaha, and see if I can't catch up with one of these shows. I mean, it just went on for like ever and ever. And as I drove to the north, I reached the outskirts of Omaha where this was still going on. And as I reached the area, it stopped. And about a block later, where the fireworks were going off, you know, there was an empty ball field, not a car to be seen. So the only thing that I can figure is it was like the 4th of July all around us, except for where we were at. And she had inquired with people in town after that. She talked to the town busybody, and nobody could come up with a solution as to where these fireworks or what the reason.
And really quick, before we hit this break, tell me how it ended, because I have a couple of ideas here already.
Well, it just ended, and that was it.
Well, what was
I mean,
the what was the date when you woke up that morning?
The date, it was probably about the 8th or 9th of September.
Yeah.
All the stuff for Labor Day had been over the week before.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. And Margaret, I've heard from both friends, callers, and researchers about stuff very similar to this, in that you were observing, obviously, another date, yeah, and another time. And in this case, it sounds like it was July 4th, when you know that it wasn't July 4th. Now, right. What, you know, you, could it be magnetic? Could it be something in the ground? Could it be a natural phenomenon for that area, that some electromagnetic thing happened and you drove through it? Could it be that? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you the whole area, there's been all kinds of high strangeness in that area. However, the fabulous fireworks that we saw, I mean, you just couldn't believe.
And those wouldn't be fireworks for Labor Day.
No. Labor Day was passed.
Right.
And I'll tell you, Jimmy, it makes me wonder how, you know, if we haven't been in the same situation and just not been able to tell what's going on around us, because really, the 4th of July, that's the only...
Well, yeah, well, there's another aspect to this too as well, Margaret. One, did you happen to look to see how old the cars were? You know, were they from the 70s, the 60s? You know, that's...
Right, no, everything around us was present time. That's why it was almost like a bubble.
Right. That's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. I had a caller a few years ago that called up, and they were on vacation. I'll leave you with this thought, Margaret. It's pretty wild. She was vacationing, went to the edge of a river, looked across the river, and saw covered wagons.
Wow.
Right? Saw covered wagons, saw people cooking and doing everything. She goes to get her family to come back and say, hey, look, check it out. They're doing a reenactment across the river. She brings the family back, looks across the river, nothing. Everything was gone. Thank you for the phone call, Margaret. Absolutely fascinating. And I'm wondering if it was a time bubble, some type of vortex. But that's because it's Friday night. We're talking about time travel. And this is Coast to Coast AM. More of your phone calls when we come back. Stay right there. Did you hear about it? Check it out. The Earth has a second moon. It does. The newly discovered asteroid 2016 HO3 orbits the Earth in such a way that we now officially have a second moon. It's about 300 meters across, and we've just discovered it, and we don't know exactly how long it's been there, but we's got to. It's a time travel kind of night. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls right after this. Stay with us. For me, there is nothing like time travel. Talking about it, thinking about it, reading about it, watching a movie about it, nothing intrigues me like time travel. Or maybe your phone calls. Let's go to the first time caller's line in Wisconsin. Jeff says he's dreamed 5 years before a concert what was actually going to happen. Tell me about it, Jeff.
It was one of those things in between sets, between the headliner and the mainline. It was actually Tesla and Def Leppard when they were at the Met Center in Minneapolis in 88.
I think I was at that concert, but keep going.
At any rate, in between the sets, the house lights came back up. And from the perspective we were at, I was looking down onto the floor, and I looked across against the far wall of the floor. And here's these guys in blue T-shirts carrying out a silver drum set. And I sat down because years prior to that, I had actually dreamt from that perspective, guys in blue shirts carrying out a silver drum set. The soundboard was off to the right a little bit. You know, it was the same exact perspective. And it's just one of those things that makes you go, what the heck, you know? How can that happen?
Yes. And I was talking about that earlier with Larry. And I think that is a significant event, Jeff. So I'm with you, because when somebody wants to come at you, somebody rational, right? You tell them that this happened. They go, well, you know, science says that, you know, and you're like, you know what? I don't care about the science.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened. And right. Somebody, right, I had a glimpse of the future. Call it deja vu. Call it what you will. But that actually happened, and nobody's going to tell me anything different. Isn't that how you feel?
Yeah, basically. And you know, like Larry was talking about pattern recall, it doesn't fit the pattern, pardon the pun. It's
right.
Not something that, yeah, I saw a blonde guy, and I fit this person that I saw, you know, to fit what I have seen or dreamed for years beforehand. There's too many things: the soundboard, the perspective, the picture, the direction they're walking. And, you know, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, geez, if I'd have remembered 20 minutes prior to this, I'd have heard songs that hadn't even been written yet. And, you know, post when that happened, I'd have heard songs that weren't even written yet. And at the time that I dreamt it, Rick Allen still had his other arm.
So, you know, oh, that's funny.
Those things where
it
just does not make sense to normal people. And the more you just kind of, you sit and think about it, sometimes it makes your head hurt, and sometimes it goes, you know, that was just really cool, and I think I'll just leave it alone for what it was and see if it ever happens again. And that's probably the third time that it happened, but nothing as drastic and detailed as that.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time, and I just, when it happens, I just enjoy it. You know, I think it's cool. Instead of freaking out, just write it out. Enjoy the moment. Hey, Jeff.
Well, awesome. Great show. Thanks very much, Jimmy, for taking my call.
Little time slip there, Jeff. Yeah, thank you for the phone call. Really appreciate it. Absolutely. Let's go up to Canada. And Richard, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hi, how you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. Reason why I'm calling, I'm what I like to call an amateur physicist myself, and I've been working on a few things on about doing time travel and working on a few theories of my own. And I'm right now in the midst of trying to build a machine that is going to breach, and I'm sure you've heard of the ley lines that are on the Earth.
Sure.
My theory on time is quite a little bit different than what you guys have been experiencing. You guys were talking about the speed of light, and I don't believe speed has virtually anything to do with time travel. I realize that they've done experiments where the satellites go around and the time changes and the astronauts' watches change a few seconds. I think that has to do with vibrational force and gravity. You have to remember that when you're traveling around the Earth and you're doing 20, 30,000 miles an hour, gravity is playing a big part on, and everything that's in the ship, everything watches, everything is going to be affected by the molecular structure. And I don't think that we're necessarily seeing time shifting. I think we're seeing some mechanical changes, maybe some shifts in the molecular structures of certain things.
Sure.
But I don't think we're seeing a time shift. I think where we see time shifts happening is where there's great amounts of gravitation, of gravity. And let me get back to, you were talking about the Lyell experiment. Let me make a correction. Those gravitational waves are created by two black holes colliding. They weren't created by anything else. I believe so. You said it was through some other effect that the gravitational waves are creating. They're actually created by two black holes. And as you well know, there's a great amount of gravity wells inside a black hole itself. So I think that's where you see the gravitational shifts happening, and we see possible fractures in time.
Yeah. Well, what I was referring to, the discovery was made through LIGA when they discovered a binary star system. And that's when the measurements were achieved for the gravitational waves. And I've spoken to quite a few people about this. Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's been two events happening in the past little while, and they were through two black holes that actually collided with one another and did their own for, I think it was 30 seconds. They pulled each other together and kind of revolved around one another and until one swallowed one up. But what I'm trying to work on right now is being able to breach the ley lines. I believe that when we start seeing people talking about vortices And when we start seeing people talk about seeing alternate time shifts and things, I don't believe that they're actually doing anything more than seeing breaches in the actual ley lines where the magnetic lines cross, and we see a great amount of gravity happening. And for whatever reason, whether there be magnetic interference or some sort of sound interference, you're seeing breaches in the ley lines themselves.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, Rich, and ley lines and the way that they structure out,
right?
And you look at how they, what's the word I want to say, geometrically align and create patterns that are interesting to look at first, but then they start to create these designs and look consistent. They don't look random, is where I'm going with this. And
they're not, but they are absolutely geometrical. They're hexagons among hexagons.
Right.
Around the Earth, created by the Earth's magnetic field.
Right. And so you had mentioned that you were going to, or you are working on a device to do breach. What? To breach.
What I've discovered is that these ley lines, they cross one another, and where they cross, there is a great magnetic anomaly, almost like that where it's a mini black hole, where you're creating a magnetic field or a force that's so powerful and so strong, you've got a change in gravity itself right at that point. And those are the points, because of the great amount of gravity, where if you alter the vibrational frequency within that field, you're going to open a vortice.
Well, and let me ask you this, Richard, could this possibly be what's causing these planes to disappear or ships on the ocean to just vanish?
Absolutely, 100%. And what I'm trying to say about that is, you talked about time travel earlier, where if you go into time, can you come back? No, you can't. Once you go forward, you fractured time itself. You will go into a alternate reality, an alternate universe.
Timeline.
I won't call it timeline, because you may go into, let's say I want to go 20 years into the future. You go 20 years into the future. Now, the reason why you can't affect the timeline that we're in is because you no longer belong to it. Anything you do there, let's say I went into the past, and you were talked earlier about you stopping your mother and father from meeting. You could. The minute you go into the past, your mother and father will no longer meet. That won't happen. And you're not going to prevent yourself from being born, because you're already there. Your atomic structure, there's only so much weight that is in the entire universe. And whether you take that bit from here, transport it there, it's being added there, so you're already there. So you will create a wave that will no longer, you won't be born, you're already in that time. If you go back all the way to the time of Jesus to prevent his death, he'll still be dead here.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that concept, but what that you are referring to, which I agree with you, Richard, but what the other concept is your mind going to the future and looking at it and observing it, or your mind going into the past where you're physically still here, and that, because everything is connected. Before I let you go, I want you to digest this, and you can always write to me or get back to me. Is this the past? Everything is magnetic, man. Everything is recorded. Everything is there. You know, so the past is there. It's magnetic. It's alive. So going back and observing it, and certainly even recording it and figuring out a way to play it back, is something that I think is firmly achievable. Because once something has happened, it is stored at a quantum level. I really believe that. So leaving your body consciously and going backwards or forwards in time, we do it every time we sleep. When you go to sleep tonight, you have no concept of time, but you wake up in the morning in the future. Don't forget about that. That is a very easy concept to understand.
You do travel. Time. What we consider to be time is always ticking. But if you're referring to astral projection, I've also done a lot of study of that too, and the idea of and I've talked to people that astral project, and they're saying that they can physically take their bodies with them, because once they are there, it's a simple case of reversing it to draw their physical body to their astral body. So they're saying that they can travel through time in theory. I don't think that that's possible. I think, again, once you travel, you're traveling to another alternate dimension, and I don't believe that this dimension you're no longer in. I don't think this dimension's alterable. I think it's just what it is.
Well, and I appreciate that. And you know what's great is that you and I can talk about this right now, spanning time together.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Richard. You have a great night.
You too, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Ohio. Brian, you're up next on Coast to Coast. What's up?
Hi, Jimmy. Yeah, your caller that just called in, he sort of like put it in perspective of what I was saying, that time is actually individual for a person. Like let's say that I went and stopped my mom and my dad meeting each other.
Right.
And what would end up happening is, I think it's more like my timeline would change. If I went into the past, it would be no longer. It'd be my parents' past. I would still be born because of their individual timeline. Person.
Sure.
But the only person that would know the effect or the change would be the person time traveling themselves.
Again, I agree. I mean, all of these are variables. Everything, and certainly when it comes to time travel, because we don't have any firm evidence of it. I mean, 100%, you can go and buy a ticket and go and watch the Beatles play Giant Stadium, right, in 1963, whatever. We don't have that ability to go and do that. But I feel that all things are on the table and need to be discussed, because I honestly believe that if I wanted to go back and kill my father and shoot him in the head, it would be an impossibility. The gun would jam. The bullets wouldn't fire. Dummy rounds. I would trip and fall over my shoelaces and crack my head before I got, everything right. Would prevent me from doing that, because he is my father and I can't change the future. That's my opinion. I think that if you travel time, you need to do it only as an observer. You're not going to be able to change it. So just observe. The whole grandfather paradox thing is out the window, because I don't think it's possible to kill your grandfather. So that to me, in my opinion, is right. Just off the table. We can eliminate that, because it would be impossible to do. You can't go and kill Hitler. It wouldn't right. happen. You're not going to be able to pull Jesus down off the cross and feed him another meal and pat him on the back and go, okay, I saved you. You're not going to be able to do that. You can't alter history.
Right. But here's the thing, is what I was saying is, though, is My father's timeline, like let's say I went to go back and try to kill my father. My father's timeline, I was born. So even if I go back to kill him, it won't even be in that timeline. I'll be in a total different timeline as him. So I would basically go and kill someone that's, that's basically my father, but in another timeline. Regardless or not, my dad's timeline, his, I was born.
Right, right. And again, yeah, I totally understand and respect that. And I think that, physics is slowly starting to prove that as being more and more and more of a possibility. And wouldn't it be cool if it really was real? And what if we could do that for fun? What if we could go visit Bizarro World, like in Superman, right?
Right.
And just go and check it out. And come back into this timeline, or maybe hang out in that one for a while. I entertain that thought all the time, and I really appreciate it. So what do you think, before I let you go, what do you think is the best evidence of time travel?
See, that's my problem is like my personal time. If I altered something in time, none of you would know about it, because I'm in a different timeline. Only the person that is going back in time or forward or altering it would know the difference. Otherwise, you would never even know it happened.
Right. And so if you have that point of view, and I totally respect that and I get it, but if you were going to prove to somebody else that time travel is real, what would you tell them?
There's always possibilities to everything, I would tell them.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't want to sit there and try to, alter their reality either. You know, there's a thin line on that. I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, that'd be too much power for someone anyway.
Well, and then what about the other examples throughout history? Not only Nazi technology and the Bell, but some of the other examples like that I have brought up, like Da Vinci, obviously knowing about stuff from the future that he just shouldn't have known about.
There's a lot of people that sit there in dreams. Dreams have a lot of effect on people. A lot of our inventions come from dreams. A lot of everything. I mean, a lot of people that, music.
Yes.
A lot of people that like horror flicks from dreams.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it could be dreams or, I've had like future, I was 8 years old and dreamt about meeting this girl at a school. And I was like 16 when I actually met this girl. I mean, the whole walk, everything.
Well, and I totally get that. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When it comes to dreams, and thank you for the call, Brian. When it comes to dreams and dreaming about the future and remembering it and then it happens, it's not deja vu, it's the future. And this is Coast to Coast.